Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
In January 2018, the dismembered remains of a young woman were found in Macerata, Italy. The suspected perpetrator, an African immigrant. Allegations of voodoo sacrifices and connections to the Nigerian mafia, combined with the politicization of the murder by the country's right-wing parties, inflamed tensions around the contentious issue of immigration with devastating consequences. This is what happens when a terrible crime is used to justify a terrible retribution. This is the murder of Pamela Mastropietro. I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Today's case is one I wanted to cover. I followed it in the news and recently felt that the time was right to talk to you about it. I do not imagine a lot of you will know about this case, but the reason that I wanted to cover it is because it is so multi-layered and multifaceted, and there are so many emotions involved and invoked by the reality of what happened. And also, I have a really, really strong empathy for Pamela Mastropietro's family. I really do. I don't think this case got the coverage that it deserved, and it led to her mother having to take some extreme actions to get some notoriety as regards what happened to her daughter. Like I said, there are lots of different layers to this crime, and there are tensions that you'll understand play out because of how she was murdered and the resulting catastrophe that occurred because of her death. So let's go back to the 31st of January 2018, Macerata, central Italy. This is basically an idyllic hilltop town. It's a place that locals call the Island of Happiness. So a really idyllic place, a picture-perfect, picturesque environment. And it's here, in these gorgeous surroundings, there are really grisly discoveries made. It's in the marsh region, and it's made by a motorist who basically just feels a really uncomfortable instinct when they see two suitcases that they know is just abandoned in a shallow ditch alongside a country road. Now, that in itself is something that I think is quite unusual. I don't know about you guys. I'm not saying that I live in an area that's involved in a lot of fly tipping, but I do see quite a lot of abandoned bags and stuff by the side of the road. And I'm not necessarily inquisitive enough or drawn enough to actually go and inspect what's in them, because I fear that I may find things that I don't really like. But this particular motorist actually is one of those pro-social individuals who thinks that's just not right. And again, because it's such a picturesque area, not like the area where I live, understandably, it stands out. So they go and investigate. And it's horrifying, because inside those two suitcases are the dismembered remains of a young woman. Head, legs, arms, breasts, and her torso, they've all been literally severed, but with surgical precision. Surgical precision. And then they've been chopped to pieces with a hatchet. Now, this is obviously absolutely out of character for the area for a start, and it's a terrifying reality that this body has been discovered. Now, quite quickly, they were able to identify that the victim was 18-year-old Pamela Mastropietro. One of the suitcases that she was in actually belonged to her. Now, initially, investigators couldn't actually establish how Pamela had died. Obviously, they knew that she'd been murdered and they knew that she'd been dismembered. But they actually suspected that at that point she'd been murdered first. So she'd been killed, and then to remove and dispose of her body, they'd cut her up and put her in these suitcases. Now, this suspicion essentially would soon be confirmed, but it isn't quite as straightforward as that. So she'd definitely been murdered, but the part about then being dismembered, that's something we're going to look into a little bit further down the line in this case. Now, who was Pamela? I mean, she was absolutely gorgeous for a start. She was a young girl. She lived in Rome and Italy. And in her teens, she was somebody who'd kind of gone down a difficult path. And we all can empathise with dependency in teenage years, because unfortunately, if you're introduced to the wrong people at the wrong time and giving the wrong opportunities, as a teenager, you don't have the same forethought that you will do when you're in your 30s. And you often relate to the world in an immediate context. So does it feel good? Then I'll do it. And essentially, she ends up going out with a Romanian dealer and she gets hooked on drugs. And I think that the very fact that she's a teenager going out with a Romanian dealer, we're going to be introduced there to vulnerability. And also, what is a Romanian dealer doing going out with a kid in her early teens? That to me says something deeply and darkly wrong. And I doubt that it was just dependency that she was dealing with there. I think a Romanian dealer would probably be exposing her to a whole heap of things that you wouldn't ideally wish for her to be exposed to. She also became addicted to alcohol, so she's got dual dependency issues. And also she suffered with BPD. So borderline personality disorder. Now, again, what we know about borderline personality disorder is it's often trauma related, and it could be that she'd experienced a level of trauma growing up. It could be that the Romanian dealer exposed her to things that were highly traumatic. And as we always know on this channel, BPD means that sometimes you struggle with how you regulate your emotion. And that means that you can feel a real level of intensity where other people emotionally may not feel that intensity. And that can make you feel quite isolated. It can make you feel alone. It can make you feel very stigmatized and different. And when you have that kind of emotional pain and turmoil, you look for things that are going to make that feel less painful. And even though drugs and alcohol are like the worst things that you can do to add to those issues, it also alleviates temporarily some of that pain. So this is what Pamela is doing. She's alleviating and anaesthetizing to some degree her emotional pain using these drugs. But it's a heady mix of problems for a young girl to have. Now in 2018, Pamela is attending a drug rehab center in the hills near Macerata. So this is something that's really positive. She's in a scenario now where she's getting tended to, and hopefully she's going to alleviate some of the issues and problems and concerns that she's been facing with her actual dependency issues. She basically moved there. It's a therapeutic community in October 2017. So she's been there a good few months. But for those of you who don't know about rehabilitation, whilst it can sound idyllic, particularly when we talk about where this particularly is, you know, it's in the hills, it's in a beautiful area, but actually it can be highly traumatizing for lots of people who go to these kind of rehabs. There are lots of rules and regulations and therapeutic input, and emotionally you're on a roller coaster ride. It doesn't always feel great. I've been and spent time at these kind of places. I've done placements there. And on occasion, I have wanted to leave, even though I'm there to work, literally after a couple of days, because I just genuinely felt the staff were assholes with the people who were clients. Maybe they'd become desensitized to the reality of pain that those individuals were suffering. Maybe they think they didn't work hard enough. Maybe they didn't get why they became dependents in the first place. But certainly, in my experience, some of those places aren't that great. And I'm not saying that's the case here, but I'm saying it's very easy to just look at a dependent and think, ah, they failed the dependency route by getting clean. They failed getting off those drugs because of the fact that they've just not got the staying power. It's not the case. It can be really affronting emotionally, very challenging psychologically, and many people do fail in rehab several times, in fact, before they succeed. So she's been there for a good few months. She's obviously invested. She's obviously trying. And even though it's this gorgeous, tranquil, peaceful location, it's overlooking vineyards, and she's in a scenario where to us, when you think about that, it sounds quite romantic, but she's still dealing with these very challenging emotional, psychological and dependency issues. So unfortunately, before Pamela actually completes the program, she escapes from the treatment center. So she leaves of her own volition. And again, we can imagine that there will have been some kind of trigger for that. She's obviously not in a good place. She's obviously feeling alone. She clearly, at this moment in time, doesn't feel it's working for her. Even if it is, and it's en route to her fully healing, that's not where she is in that moment. And she bolts for whatever reason. Now, instead of doing what we would all wish for her to do, which is to head home, it's only 125 miles away, she actually decides instead that she's going to go for search to town because she wants to find some heroin. So, first of all, we know that she probably elects not to go home because her family's going to be disappointed, and understandably so. We have every single sympathy with any family member who feels frustrated and annoyed and devastated and scared when somebody they love goes into rehab, seems to be bossing it, and then actually fails and leaves. That is really upsetting for family members, and any dependent knows that. And even if you're going to go home and just acknowledge that it's not worked for you, the chances are you're going to want to find a hit before you do that, because you're electing to leave that place because you've chosen drugs as opposed to sobriety. So now she's in a really vulnerable situation. She's looking for drugs. This is an area that she isn't familiar with, and that's problematic on every single level. And the issue as well, that she's going in search of heroin, well, that makes her triply vulnerable, because what we know about heroin is it basically renders you into a position where you are completely helpless when you take it. We're talking about a young girl. She's been off drugs for a long time now. It's been a good few months. That means she's not going to be aware of the impact of taking a certain amount of heroin, because often people will over-exaggerate what they think they want compared to what their body can deal with. And these are all variables before we even consider the fact that she's going somewhere by herself to a place that she doesn't know, to meet people that she doesn't know, to get drugs. And that's placing her in a really unsafe situation. Now, as she is in Macerata, which is basically a beautiful place, it's even a finalist in the Capital of Culture competition, she knows that it's unlikely in that vicinity she's going to be able to score heroin. Skag isn't readily available around her there. So she knows that if she wants to go somewhere, the likelihood is that she needs to go outside of the medieval city walls. Now, the problem with all of what I've just talked about is we can additionalize this even further, because where she is heading, it is dangerous. It is a dangerous area. It's full of drug dealers. It's where a lot of immigrants live, and it's a poor...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Poor area. Bear in mind, we do see a lot of immigrants who are brought into countries or are escaping situations in other countries not being placed in the most ideal of areas. And unfortunately, that can lead to a whole host of social issues, because clearly there are vulnerable individuals being placed in these areas that are actually high with issues such as gang violence, drug violence, sex trafficking, etc., etc. Hardly ideal if you've come from a place because you're seeking asylum. So in this area, it's very poor, and she has no money either. So she wants to go and score heroin, but she doesn't actually have any cash on her. So first of all, she makes a journey by herself on foot, and that's going to stand out. She's a really attractive young girl. Bear in mind, she's clean at this point. She's going to look healthy. and therefore she's noticeable. And at some point, Pamela encounters two Nigerian men. One is Desmond Lucky, and the second man is Lucky Awolema. Now, it seems, as far as they can trace this, that each man drove her some of the way to a man who could basically supply her with heroin in a place called Diaz Gardens, which sounds nice, but is a horrific area. Now again, I bring you back to the reality, this girl had absolutely no money. So they feel that it's potential at this point she offered sex in exchange for those drugs. Now, the level of desperation is devastating to imagine, isn't it? But this young girl, and this is what she's doing, she's so desperate to get that hit, to escape whatever she's dealing with trauma-wise, that she's willing to sleep with these two strangers to get her drugs. Also, what does it say about those men? You find a vulnerable young girl in this situation and you're thinking, well, how can I exploit her? And I track that back to what I said earlier on about the guy that she was hanging out with as a young teen, the Romanian drug dealer. Sex exploitation and trafficking is so common, and the idea that it just happens in films like Taken is bull. The reality is that a lot of people use the boyfriend ruse where they make you feel that you're special and then they use you in 100 different ways and basically let their friends use you and anyone else who wants to use you as well, all in the guise that you are cared for. So I think that she's probably been groomed in this kind of sexual exploitation anyway, and these guys just present more of the same. That's just my belief. Not saying it's evidential, I'm saying it makes sense in my experience. Now, both of those men, they would later down the line face charges of sexual assault. And the reason for that is because they believe that Pamela couldn't possibly have been in the correct state of mind to give any valid consent. She's just vulnerable. She's left a rehab. She's desperate for drugs. They knew that. They took advantage of her. Now, ultimately, she ends up being taken to a 29-year-old, ironically named Innocent Osagale. That's right, Innocent. You know, names like Lucky and Innocent, I'm just gonna throw it out there. I know there's a cultural thing there, I understand that. I used to work with a kid called Professor, I get it. I'm just saying, sometimes you're kind of blighting your kid when you give them a name like that, and they end up in the situation we're going to talk about. Because the thing about Osagale is Innocent is not a word that can be associated with him in this universe or any universe in perpetuity. So basically, Osagale is in Diaz Gardens. That's where she basically meets him. And this is where she's also last seen alive. This is the 29th of January, 2018. This is the same day, of course, that she's reported missing from her drug rehab center. So people are already looking for her on the day that she's just disappeared. They're obviously aware that she's very vulnerable. They're obviously aware that she's likely to go and try and score drugs. And they probably are damn hopeful that at some point she's going to arrive back at her family's. But like I said, there is an awareness that she has not gone back to the rehab. And there is an awareness that at that point she is missing. Now, Osagale, let's look at this excuse for a human being, genuinely. I don't give license to anybody's history, allowing them any malevolence in the world. There are too many examples, the vast majority of examples, where people who have had horrible lives are good human beings. I don't give people that card, that get out of jail free. You had a shitty life, I'm sorry, it's awful. We can definitely take that into consideration, but you ain't gonna get a moment of extra sympathy or empathy for the choices that you make when they are so dark, disastrous, deceptive, and disgusting as what I'm gonna talk about today. So he arrives in Italy, 26th of August, 2014. This was actually during a really peak migration period. Now, by 2018, he's in the country legally. So, first of all, he's dropped off the refugee assistance program and his visa's expired. Also, he's known at this point to Italian authorities for drug dealing. Police had actually spent months investigating this guy because there was belief that he was connected to the Nigerian mafia. And that particular criminal organisation, it is absolutely notorious, and I say the word notorious specifically was notorious for its involvement with human and drug trafficking, money laundering, illegal immigration, prostitution. The Nigerian mafia is the worst of the worst. It is the most disgraceful of groups that do things that would keep you and I awake at night if we were to think about this too much. When I talk about the depravity that this Nigerian mafia group will go to, it is literally depraved beyond measure. Also, I don't know why this guy is even still in Italy. He outstayed his visa, he's not there legally, send him back. Unless there's a really good reason not to, send him back. This guy's involved with drug dealing. He's obviously somebody that's constantly in trouble. Why is he in Italy? Surely at that point, he has lost his right to be there. Just on a common sense level. I know all this stuff about human rights. I'm the first to advocate for human rights, but you lose them when you're doing things illegally. And when I talk through this crime, you'll understand why I feel so passionately about how this human being is even allowed in Italy at this point. Now, in the 2016 study by International Organization for Migration, they actually identified, by the way, that around 80% of female immigrants arriving in Europe via the Mediterranean were already victims of sex trafficking. That's including an increased number of minors, okay? So if I seem a little bit passionate about this subject area, that's why. Because women and children are being sex trafficked by these kind of characters. And it's just offensive to my sensibilities that this goes on. And essentially, when you start to challenge the kind of criminals who are doing this, people scream human rights and they have rights too. And it's like, no, they don't. No, they don't. No, they don't. The women have rights, the children have rights, the men who come over because they're seeking asylum officially, the immigrants that come over because they're looking for work legally, they have rights. The minute that you become a criminal, you don't have rights, in my opinion, at all. Now, the previous year, Oscar Gailey has been convicted for drug trafficking. So he'd been sentenced to prison time, and apparently he was ordered to be immediately deported following his release, but it didn't happen. And the reason that this is a massive issue is I should not be telling this story. This should not be something I have to tell you because that guy should not have been in Italy. But because it didn't happen, because he wasn't deported, even though he's selling drugs and getting convicted of that, basically he gets to go ahead and commit the crime I'm going to talk about today. So all he does, because there are so few consequences for him, he just resumes his illegal drug dealing activities. Also, his local parish, yes, the church. I know we're all about forgiveness, right? I get it. I think it's good to be able to be forgiven when people deserve it. But his local parish had basically, in spite of the fact that this is a guy convicted criminal, somebody who's not even allowed in the country legally, should have been deported. So they've been paying his monthly rent of €495. That's for his apartment. And it's basically in central Macerata. And to be fair, that was actually a higher than average rent for the area. So he's effectively a criminal who's now being sustained via benefits. And if that isn't to add insult to injury, this will, because when they investigated him, he had over €30,000 in his bank account. Also, he had 10 other African immigrants living in his three-bedroom apartment, no doubt extorting cash off them as well. That's what the church were supporting. Now, it's understood that Pamela basically asks Osigali for heroin. He tells her that he doesn't have any, but apparently he could get some. At this point, he calls his friend Desmond Lucky, and Desmond Lucky sources the drugs, then meets them in Diaz Gardens. It's a harrowing idea, this, because what we're talking about is this vulnerable girl trusting these strangers, and she doesn't know that she has literally fell into the viper's pit. If she could have met anyone on that journey that day, anyone else would have been preferable to the individuals that she stumbled across when she was searching for those drugs, when she was so vulnerable she wasn't thinking consequentially. It's a horrific reality that this basic child, as far as I'm concerned, finds herself in this situation. After they've got the drugs, they start making their way back to Ostigali's home, which is clearly where she intends to take them. On the way back to the property, they actually stop at a drugstore and they buy a syringe. So this is clearly the intention. Now, establishing exactly what happens inside Ostigali's home, that's going to become the big focus of the later murder investigation, because they have to piece it together. This is not something that is usual in the area, and I'll talk you through why. It's astonishing what happens to Pamela. So after they get back, it's believed that Pamela basically was given a really large dose of heroin. So the belief is that she was given an amount that was going to immobilize her. So basically she would be fully at their will. Or they feel that it was injected, and after she had that injected, or she chose to inject it, she was possibly hit until she was unconscious. But either way, what the belief is that there was a purposeful and willful injecting of Pamela to a point where she was either completely helpless or where she was violently attacked afterwards to ensure that she was unconscious. Now, at some point, Lucky left. So at this point, Lucky leaves, and that means that we have Ostigali with Pamela by themselves. And this is when he sexually assaults and rapes her. And it gets worse, because he doesn't want to leave a witness. It's as simple as that. And I don't really think this was just about not leaving a witness. When I talk you through what they did to her, I think you will probably come to the same conclusion. This was always an intention. These are individuals, and Ostigali is an individual who takes great pleasure, as far as I'm concerned, in killing. So to dispose of her, he stabs Pamela twice in the abdomen, and the autopsy was able later to identify those wounds, and they were able to also conclude that they were the reasons for her death. However, there's other speculation about why it occurred. So there is a belief that Pamela may have been sacrificed as part of a voodoo ritual, which to any of us who doesn't come from a culture where voodoo is considered important and also real, because you have to understand that in some areas voodoo is so powerful that people are literally in scenarios where people cast spells on them, for example, and they die. Psychologically, the power of that belief system is enormous. So even though it might not seem normal or realistic to us Western belief system holders, if you have a real belief in things like voodoo, then essentially this kind of thing within your culture is commonplace. And whilst obviously the vast majority of people would never do anything like sacrifice another human being, the actual culture of it, the fabric of voodoo, plays out. And just because you don't live in a country where that was initially practiced doesn't mean it will leave you when you move elsewhere. So apparently what was really big was voodoo within the mafia groups. It was very common for the mafia groups to perform these rituals. And the reason was they would do it to do things like wishing death on the police, investigating them. Sadly, of course, with us being Western, you can voodoo as much as you fancy. Just get a voodoo doll, stab it many times. It's not going to make a difference, love, because I don't believe in it. Honestly, get your weird brews, have a bit of a dance. Say your spells, not gonna matter. And I doubt very much it had very much of an impact on such police investigations, but the power of belief is what makes it dangerous. Now, some of these rituals that the mafia would involve themselves in, it would be cutting the victim up in a really specific manner and removing organs. And also, in some of the cases, actually eating those body parts. Let's call it as it is, shall we? Let's call it as it is. I think when I read the research and it says things like ingesting body parts, a bit like a lot of things these days, we're minimising the reality. We're talking cannibalisation. We're talking the mafia were actually cannibals in cases. So Pamela's remains, when they looked at them, they said that that really did bear similarities to ritual sacrifice. So I don't think that they are saying that lightly. I think they're saying that evidently because they believe that's the case, that Pamela was used in a ritual sacrifice, and that they can't necessarily attribute that because people haven't said, oh yes, that's what we did. But certainly when they're looking at the injuries to her body and the way that she was so specifically cut up, it fits the paradigm. The medical examiner even concluded that she'd literally been dismembered with scientific method. So this isn't the first timer, guys. This is somebody who knows exactly what they're doing. So the heart, her internal organs had all been removed from her body. All of her blood and urine also had been removed, drained. Her skin had been removed. And then on top of all those horrific things, and yes, I did say her skin had been removed, she'd then been decapitated, and her limbs and her torso had been cut up into 20 pieces. Now, each one of her body parts had literally been meticulously washed with bleach, and that was obviously partly to remove forensic evidence. But also, again, there's a ritualistic nature there, isn't there? And then the parts of her body had been stuffed into those two cases, along with the skin, which, quote, had been neatly folded like a dress. I kid you not. It makes Silence of the Lambs seem like a lame story. This happened to Pamela. This is Pamela's body. Sometimes when you start to talk about the grotesqueness and the dehumanization of an individual's life and body, you can almost forget what we're talking about because it becomes almost scientific, and the gruesomeness connects with a way that our brain wants to say, let's not think about that as a person, we have to. This is Pamela's body. They did this to her. He did this to her. And it's such an unusual way of disposing of a corpse. You don't need to do that if you want to get rid of a body. You can cut them up, fine, shove them in a bag. But the truth is...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Is there is a meticulous level of the way that she is disemboweled, the way that her body is cut up. This is far more ritualistic. And the fact that they've removed all of her internal organs, all of these things speak to something really malevolent and dark and ritualistic. Now the police first, and very fortunately, are alerted to Osagale as a potential suspect by the taxi driver who'd actually transported he and his two suitcases to the spot where the suitcases were found. So we immediately have him banged to rights. Also, massive superiority, massive arrogance, clearly doesn't think that anyone's gonna dob him in to the police, but also what does that say about him? True narcissism running through his veins, and also where are the consequences? Well, he went to prison, was gonna get deported, didn't get deported. Why would he think that there were any consequences to his actions? But this taxi driver, fortunately, leads the investigators to Osagale. And because they know that he was the last one with her remains, clearly there is a link. So the police then go and search Osagale's apartment. And it gets worse. Because again, I stand truthfully when I say this to you about my feelings. I don't think Osagale thought anyone was going to value this drug user. I don't think that he believed that she was from a loved family. I think he just saw her as another skag addict who was easy to dispose of and no one would notice. He got that so wrong. The idea that dependents aren't loved and cared for is a ludicrous stereotype. But what does that tell you about prior behavior? Do we really believe that Osagale is somebody who's done this for the first time? Because he seems pretty damn proficient at this kind of behavior. And if she hadn't belonged to somebody, hadn't gone missing, hadn't been cared for, how many Jane Does and John Does turn up and we never find out who killed them, where they came from, or who they belong to. It's commonplace, particularly when it comes down to dependents and homeless people and sex workers. And bear in mind, that's what Osigali is penned her as, just another disposable, dependent sex worker. But he's got it wrong. One, she's cared for, and two, people are invested in finding the grotesque killer of this poor young girl with her whole life ahead of her. So basically, in the apartment, they find Pamela's bloody clothes. They've made no attempt to get rid of them. So they're not thinking anyone's coming for them. They also found other items belonging to her, but it gets even more macabre, honestly, because as soon as they go and look in the fridge, they find body parts of hers. And the reason those body parts are there are for one reason. They're not keeping them cold to stop them smelling and getting ridden with fleas and maggots. They're there because they're going to eat them. It's there for consumption, pure and simple. Osigali and probably people living with him are cannibals, end of. Now, Osigali gets arrested just days after the killing, 31st of January 2018, and the police basically intercept him on the steps of his building. He's later remanded in custody. Following the investigation, he's charged with murder. Of course he is. You couldn't possibly get away with not being charged with murder when I've just told you what unfolded. But also, the murder's aggravated by sexual assault and destruction and concealment of a corpse. Rightfully so. Personally, I'm going to throw it out there. I don't think we need a court case. I think Osigali has done enough for us to just take him, lock him in a dark cell without heating and feed him on crumbs and water for eternity. And I think he'd be lucky with that kind of punishment, because the kind of punishment that he should have is far more dire and hopefully will be doled out when he meets his maker, who is definitely somebody who begins with a D and ends with an L. And no voodoo's gonna save you there, mate. Anyway, sorry, I feel triggered by this case. I feel triggered because murder cases are always horrific, but Pamela has been treated as such a worthless, disposable object that it is crucifying to imagine. So basically, when he's arrested, brought into custody, charged, he says, you know, yeah, I had been with Pamela at my apartment, but you know what? I'd gone out in between to sell marijuana. You know, not the high-level drugs, not the heroin that she's taking, no, the low-level drugs, so that you're not gonna really think that I'm that bad a person, because I've just been in prison for actually selling drugs and you didn't do anything about it, so maybe I can get away with it again, yeah? So this is his story. Just gone out to sell his weed. Basically, he's left his friend with her, Lucky, and she's perfectly well. Perfectly well. Just gonna throw it out there, Osigali. Didn't you go and score heroin for her? I did. Did you therefore really think that she'd be well, bearing in mind that you've just scored heroin for her, meaning that she's a dependent and she's very vulnerable and she's in your flat and she could overdose? Let's just throw it out there on a very mild level. Yeah, I haven't thought of my story appropriately, have I? No, you're going to hell. Anyway. This is what he says. Of course he does. I'm innocent. It's got nothing to do with me. It was all my friend. And also, what does that say about the way he is around his friend? You know, Lucky, he's basically implicating that individual as well, isn't he? So he's not afraid to be deceptive and he's not afraid to throw friends under the bus. He's like the worst of the worst type of character. So when you think about the dark triad, and actually, to be fair, there's now an additional category to the dark triad, but let's just go with narcissistic, psychopathic, Machiavellian personality traits. They've added in sadism as well. He would fit all of those perfectly, wouldn't he? So superior that he thinks he can get away with it. So narcissistic that he believes that if he just tells the police that he did nothing and it was his friend, that he'll absolutely be able to walk away. And also the sadism and psychopathy part, because he's gone ahead and murdered this totally innocent, vulnerable woman. But his story is that she'd been perfectly well, spite of being there with drugs that he just scored for her. And then he comes back around 4 hours later and she's being killed, dismembered and put in a suitcase. Okay, Osigali. And you're kind of a friend that would be like, oh, you know what? I'll go and dispose of those two body part suitcases. Not a problem. I'll do that for you, Lucky. That's why you're called Lucky. But this is his story. So Osigali's friends, Lucky and Awalima, they also get arrested and detained. And of course they do, because they are the three common people who've been involved in this particular case. Now, as part of the investigation, as they're building the investigation, the police bug their cell phones and they also are able to intercept conversations between them. And wow. When I say all you should ever need are conversations like this to give you a life sentence, genuinely, I don't know why we bother with trials when you have this kind of incriminating evidence. Bearing in mind, they're being investigated by the police. They're going to be on the best behaviour if they've got even an ounce of logic, common sense and intelligence between them. Well, they haven't. None of them have. I often say there's three brain cells in there and they're actually fighting, but it's actually between all of them in this case. Literally, three brain cells between all of them, and those cells are fighting with each other. So they're intercepting these phone calls and it's horrible. So the police become really suspicious now, because Aulima states this: innocent threw parts of the corpse in the toilet and flushed them, froze the other parts to be eaten. Referred to how simple it had been as well, and added, after all, we've done worse. So again, this is evidence of malicious, malevolent individuals. This isn't joking, this isn't sarcasm. These are individuals who are stating their truth. Police also later found evidence of this horrible kind of content on Aulima's mobile. So they were able to restore deleted photos, and those photos were horrific. So they depicted really terrible torture of young black teenagers, and other pictures showed animals being dissected by these guys who were wearing latex gloves. So the actual content is very supportive of the nature of these individuals. Now, Osagali, he basically was the one who should have got rid of Pamela's body. So the conversation went like this: it would have been better to have eaten the pieces of the body. The only problem would have been the head. He'd have had to throw it away. But everything else, he could have kept inside the fridge and whenever he wanted, cook it and eat it. Now, the normalization of that statement is horrifying. These are not first-timers, are they? In fact, one could argue they've got a taste for human body parts, and there's no big deal. An easier way would have literally been to digest this poor woman. That's what they're saying. So the police have them banged to rights as far as they're concerned. Now, on the 3rd of February 2018, so this is just days after Pamela's murder, unemployed 28-year-old right-wing militant guy called Luca Traini, he drives his car through the streets of Matarata, shooting through his car window. He's got a Glock semi-automatic pistol. He targeted black pedestrians. So that's horrific. We've got this guy in a retribution-style act. That's what's happening. So he fires around 30 shots during the course of 90 minutes, and he seriously injures six people. Now, as the police close in, he manages to abandon his car in the city centre. Now, soon after, and thank God, he gets wrestled to the ground and is arrested on the steps of the Macerata Fascist Era War Memorial, which is obviously where he's made a beeline for, because that's part of his MO, isn't it? There's a desire to be seen out there as doing something that is so wrong in our views, but for him, with that very right extreme belief system, it's kind of representative being at that war memorial. Now, he sees the police approach him, just wraps the Italian flag around his shoulders, and he makes his fascist salute, shouting, "Long live Italy and Italy for Italians," during his arrest. So this is political as much as it's personal, as far as this person is concerned. Now, the previous year, his behaviour had been so problematic, he'd actually been kicked out of his own gym because they said he had fascist views. Because obviously, the vast majority of us, no matter whether we sometimes think things are going wrong in our societies, don't feel the need to be racist or fascist or in any way serious right-wing, like radical white ring I'm talking about now, you know, neo-Nazi, etc. But for Traini, he's obviously gone down that radicalization route, so to speak. He felt that he did those shootings because he wanted to give Pamela some legacy. So in the days before the shootings and also that of following Pamela's death, Traini had actually written many hateful posts about immigrants and black people on Pamela's mother's Facebook page. In some, he'd gone so far as to call for the death penalty. And he said that his original plan was in fact to go to court and to shoot Osig Ghali. And that was going to be in direct revenge for Pamela's murder. But he basically changed his mind and instead carried out random shootings on African immigrants. So he admits that it was really racially motivated, and he claimed that the only regret he had after carrying out those shootings was that he'd also shot a woman. So as far as he was concerned, men were fair game. I suppose he was arguing that they represented Osig Ghali, but of course what we're really talking about is innocent people all but nearly being murdered because of his actions. Also, there's a massive difference in the reality of somebody feeling so compelled by another's actions that they want to have some vigilante action taken, such as going to the court and killing Osig Ghali, a man who had actually intentionally murdered, decapitated and dismembered an innocent young woman. Even though that would be completely inappropriate to go to the court and kill him, what you would have is a completely different social reaction, which would actually be, well, you know what, at the end of the day, this person took a life, and eye for an eye kind of behaviour, this man has responded and reacted to that by going and killing him. Like I said, I'm not legitimising it, I'm saying you would understand it in a completely different context to what we're talking about, which is this guy just mowing people down, shooting them in the street, and they'd done absolutely nothing wrong, apart from be a different colour to him. Let's break it down to the actual bare bones. That's what we're talking about. And the fact that he doesn't regret hurting men that had done nothing wrong demonstrates that he is very similar to Osig Ghali. You know, you can ultimately choose any side you want, but if you're willing to do this kind of stuff to people who are innocent, you kind of fit the same paradigm as the other psychopaths that you're kind of blaming for the social issues you're annoyed with. Now, it later transpired that the previous year, Traini had been a candidate in the local election. Of course he had. So he'd stood for Lega Nord, which is Northern League, and that's a right-wing political party in Italy. Now, this was later rebranded as Lega for the 2018 general election, but Traini had been a part of that movement, and I'm sure that they were appalled by his actions as well, no matter how right-wing their views. Nobody wants to have people shot in the streets, and certainly don't want somebody who's done that associated with their political party. Now, Traini was actually jailed for 12 years in March 2021. So he got what I would consider is quite a light sentence when you think about there was an attempted murder of many people there, and it's only for the literal grace of God that they weren't actually killed. But he got 12 years. Now we get to 6 months after Pamela's murder, and it's during a prison interrogation that Osig Ghali basically admits in the end to, as he says it, tearing up her body, July 2018 when this happens. So he basically admits, yes, I was the one who ripped her apart. And even the fact that he uses the words tearing up her body, the disassociation, you might refer to tearing up meat, for example, but the idea of talking about tearing up a human, it is so dehumanizing, it's beyond belief, and psychologically demonstrates again the malevolence that goes on within this man's mind. But of course, he's not going to be admitting that he tore her up for any other reason, that he's trying to distance himself from the actual murder. So he's like, yeah, okay, I did tear up her body, but you know what? That's all I did. I have no idea how anyone could come out with that kind of sentence. Genuinely, and think it kind of minimizes their actions. Just get this right a minute. Just like, back up. Just for a minute. Let's just back up. So, you tore up her body, your words. I did, I tore up her body. That makes you guilty as hell. No, 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 because that's all I did. In precision detail, you literally totally take her body apart.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
You wash it with bleach. You store her vital organs in your fridge to eat. And you then dispose of the rest of her body parts in 2 suitcases. I did do all of those things, but that's all I did. When you say that's all I did, what's your intention? My intention is that I'll get off the murder. I'm going to tell you now that even if you had indeed not murdered her and you just tended to, shall we say, disposing of said body, we're going to make sure that you very, 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 very certainly never see the light of day again. You absolute freak. And I don't care whether it's voodoo, you're a freak. I doubt it went like that, but that is how it should go, is what I'm saying. So he's admitting to this horrific brutalisation of this poor young woman's body. And now he's denying murder, of course. He says that Pamela overdosed and then died at his address. Again, where are we now? What kind of paradigm or universe have we fell into where somebody feels that this is a reasonable excuse? Just gonna go back a bit there, Sigani. So you're saying that this young woman who's left a drugs rehab, scores drugs, takes too many, dies on your floor. You're saying that happened. I am saying that happened. Why would you not just call an ambulance? Well, I thought that people might not believe that that had happened. Okay, but let's just throw it out there. Let's throw it out there that people didn't believe that that was what happened. Would you say it makes more sense to then take said body and then dismember said body, remove internal organs, store them in your fridge in case you're hungry later, and then get in a taxi with 2 suitcases, dump the body so that when investigators inevitably and ultimately find the body and then trace it back through the taxi driver that took you there, you're saying that that feels less of a messy scenario to explain than the one where she just died in your lounge? When you put it like that, that does make quite a lot of sense, but I'm just going to stick with the facts. It's not my fault. I'm innocent. I did nothing apart from cutting her up. Seriously, can't help breaking it down like that because you can understand, can't you? The gravity of guilt is just everywhere in this case. And yet he genuinely believes that if he can come up with that pied story about, well, she died of an overdose, it was her fault, her volition, that suddenly he's going to be able to sidestep these charges. It's offensive. And he explains that the reason that she was so dismembered was because he just couldn't fit her in otherwise. So he needed to dispose of this girl who died in his apartment, and now he needed to get rid of her body to prevent himself being implicated. And so he cuts her up to do that. Unbelievable. And the very fact that he even uses her case, again, just another disrespectful level and layer to this crime. Then he goes on to say that he didn't rape her, said that they had consensual sex. She can't consent, you absolute fruit loop. But anyway, this is what he's saying, just denying all responsibility, that she actually wanted to have sex with him, and this was apparently in an underpass near Diaz Garden. Apparently they had sex after just meeting. Now, even if they did have sex because she was desperate and she needed to get a hit. Our sympathy and empathy lies with her, full stop. She's being used and exploited because she's desperate, and he knows how to use and exploit her. Therefore, he is a perpetrator per se, and she cannot consent because her mental state does not allow that consenting to occur. Bear in mind as well, until a few months earlier, she was a child, she was a minor, and this predator knows that she is very vulnerable and very young, and he exploits her because of that. Now, his account, of course, doesn't fit the physical evidence for a start. So despite the fact that he's tried to remove all the DNA through bleaching her body parts, they actually are able to find forensic evidence. So Osagali's DNA is found down Pamela's nails. Also, another thing that the autopsy was able to establish is that Pamela had been stabbed twice in the liver. So they know that she didn't die from an overdose. Also, whilst Osagali is actually in custody, he tells a cellmate that he was in the Nigerian mafia. He said he's a member of the Black Cats group. And even though his mafia connections have been dismissed by the police during the investigation, it still makes you feel, shall we say, an uncertainty, because certainly his actions are demonstrative of this particular group of individuals. Also, he disclosed that he'd stabbed Pamela after she threatened to call the police. So we can assume there's a strong potential that he sexually assaulted her, and then in retaliation and trying to protect herself, trying to scare him off, she said, I'm going to tell the police about this. And at that point, he decides that he's going to kill her. Also, and this is mind-blowing because it shows such intention, he claims that after he stabbed her, he immediately begins to dissect her body. Immediately. And there's no, oh my God, what have I done? There's no, Jesus, what am I going to do with this body? There's no, I need to go and take some stock of what has occurred because I've just killed this woman. No. Immediately, second nature, he just starts to dissect her body, beginning with one of her feet. Now, horrifically, and this is something that really stays with me, Osagali actually told his cellmate that Pamela had unexpectedly shown signs of life as he was removing her foot. And that's why he stabbed her again. So this is consistent, by the way, with the medical examiner's findings. So there was two stab wounds, and they were also able to find evidence that Pamela had still been alive whilst Osagali had been dismembering her. Just harrowing. He literally didn't care that she would have been in unbelievable agony as he started to carve her up, because he enjoys this, doesn't he? This is somebody who's prepared and ready and experienced enough to just go along dissecting her even when she's awake. Now, following the further investigation, and this blows my mind, this is, as far as I'm concerned, a major travesty of justice. So they do this investigation, and somehow Lucky and Awolema are acquitted of all charges in relation to Pamela's death, in spite of the fact that they're texting each other and they're talking about these situations and they're admitting to doing gruesome things before this particular act. They, as far as they are concerned, are not people who are related to her actual death. Now, the sexual assault allegations, they couldn't even pursue those, as basically it's only an action that the victim can bring by themselves. How ludicrous is that? How ludicrous is it that Pamela, if she hadn't been brutally murdered on top of being horribly sexually assaulted and raped, well, then they'd have been prosecuted. But because she's dead, because she can't give evidence, even though her body demonstrates the evidence, apparently that's not enough. So these guys aren't even charged with her murder or the brutal assault that she would have endured, or taking her to the scene of her murder. There are so many layers to why this is so inconsistent with justice, it's unbelievable. So instead, Lucky and Awolema, they're only ever prosecuted for possession and distribution of drugs. So in October 2018, they receive 6 and 8 year sentences respectively. That is a miscarriage of justice on steroids, as simple as. Now, Oscar Gali, he's found guilty of Pamela's rape and murder in 2019 because there was no other way that any other thing could have happened. He is guilty as hell. The only thing that could have made him look more guilty was if he had a tattoo saying, "I murdered Pamela," on his forehead, which my mother would think all murderers should probably have done to them anyway. She also thinks that paedophiles should have a massive P put on their forehead. I kind of get where she's going and I kind of respect it. So he's found guilty of murder in May 2019. He's sentenced to life in prison. Amen. Amen for that. And that includes 18 months isolation. Again, I think we could have upped that for 10 years or so, but 18 months isolation, that's how seriously it's considered that he can't even be around other individuals. And the court justified its imposition of a life sentence because they described the killing as a homicide of unprecedented gravity, paired with a total and inhumane insensitivity evidenced by the conduction of the dismemberment of the body lucidly prolonged for hours. Very strong words. Absolutely and dutifully correct. Like I said, don't know why the other two weren't brought in as co-conspirators. Certainly don't think 6 and 8 years is representative of what we're talking about today. Now, Pamela's mother, because bear in mind, Pamela is loved. She belongs to people. She belongs to a family. Her mum's called Alessandra Verney, and she has been beyond appalled by her experience of the judicial process, and I understand why. She also is appalled by the way that her family and her have been treated by the church. You know, the church, the compassionate, patient, forgiving, loving church. Well, not for Pamela's family, it seems. So she feels really let down by the system. She feels that it took a long time for any form of justice for Pamela. And even though Oscar Gali got the conviction and the life sentence, the other two basically have such minimal sentences, it's embarrassing. But also, Oscar Gali then tries to appeal his conviction for the sexual assault element of the crime. So basically, he argues it hadn't been adequately proven at trial. Sorry, is it possible that we just double his sentence? And you know the 18 months in isolation? I've got a new idea. Now, it's a bit left field. Just throwing it out there. Some of you human rights people out there, you might be a little bit up in arms, but I've made myself the mayor of the area and so I'm going to make these rules now. So we're going to double the life sentence. I know it's irrelevant, he'll be dead anyway. We're just going to do that anyway. Double the life sentence. And then, you know the 18 months in isolation? Well, I would like the first 18 months to additionalize. You know those guys, the really big ones that no one likes in the prison and everyone's scared of? Yeah, they are going to spend the first 18 months with Oscar Gali. And then, again, people are going to be like, what? This seems a little bit out there. But you know snakes? You know the really dangerous snakes that don't kill you, but they're dangerous because they bite you. And they do have some venom and it makes you like feel like you've got bad flu. Well, we're just going to put him in a cell with those for the next 5 years. Just 5 years. And actually, funnily enough, I want to trial this with the two guys who went down for drugs charges. Let's do that too. It's totally fine. I've made a new law. Sorry. I digress. I'm just living in my little fantasy world where things of justice play out as they should. The fact that he wants to try to get off for this sexual assault element is devastating as far as I'm concerned, because you are putting Pamela's family through this. And the whole aim of that was he wanted to secure a reduction of his life sentence. So he doesn't believe that he should be in prison for that time. That's how little he values Pamela's life. It's just a woman, just a body, just something destroyed, just a family destroyed, but who cares? All that matters is this guy's freedom. Now, Alessandra, she finds it really difficult to accept the reasoning that they gave for allowing him the opportunity to appeal. Because even if it's successful, so even if he does prove that the sexual element of that crime was unsafe when they tried him, even if there's a technicality there, his conviction for murdering and dismembering Pamela would still stand. So basically, he's spending public money, he's getting all this attention, he's continuing the pain of the family, and it's going to do nothing because he's ending up with the same sentence. Now, for me, that genuinely again demonstrates that narcissism. He wants attention. He wants to feel a level of control. And it's offensive that anybody would legitimize that desire and actually bring that to life. Now, Alexandra understandably feels that the actual murdering and dismembering of Pamela's body justifies the life sentence alone. It absolutely does. So in protest, when Osagali's recent appeal hearing happened, this is in January 2023, she actually walked in wearing a t-shirt which was absolutely designed to shock. It was designed to send out a really strong, powerful message, one that said, I won't be silenced, I won't be afraid, and you will see what this monster has done to my daughter, to our lives. Because when you decimate somebody's body, when you murder somebody, you don't just decimate their body, you decimate their family structure, you traumatize their future, you take their serenity and sanctuary, you take their safety. So this message was incredibly powerful because the t-shirt featured the image of her daughter's dismembered body. It was pictures taken when her body had been laid out on the pathologist's table. And that was very brave. It was a statement of absolute truth. This is what he did. And you're paying attention to his whims for this appeal? It's inescapable when you see those pictures that Pamela was literally cut into pieces and discarded like rubbish. She said, did he not exercise enough violence to merit life imprisonment? Anyone who saw those images know that if they were made public, they would shake consciences. Absolutely, every day of the week. Because when you make actions real, when you're introduced to the scenes, when you look and cannot look away, you can't escape the inhumanity of the individual who carried out the attacks. It brings the reality into sharp focus, and that's what she was intending to do. And Alexandra is also really angry that the authorities didn't prosecute the other two suspects in this case, Lucky and Awolema, because she believes that Osagali are accomplices, and so do I. She says, I know he wasn't alone. They blamed it all on one person simply to avoid exposing the rottenness behind it all. And again, having looked at the evidence, having researched the case, I'm going to say I absolutely 100% back Pamela. I'm with her on all levels there. And furthermore, to add insult to injury, Pamela doesn't feel that her family has at all been supported by the Catholic Church. And I'll tell you what, she's got damn right to those views. She's got good cause to that belief system. Because first of all,
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
And everyone's going to have a different political belief, and I'm going to show some neutrality, but also I cannot move away from the emotional reality of what we're dealing with today. And the church supports completely unregulated immigration. Now, I think that pretty much all of us will agree that immigration that is regulated is brilliant. Literally. Why is our NHS in the UK in such a state? We can't recruit doctors and nurses. And when people come from overseas and can fill those positions, it's an easing on the pressure that we face over here. And also, of course, diversity is something that brings so many shades of positivity when it's done right. So you can't support unregulated immigration, because that brings a whole heap of opportunists for the wrong reasons. You want regulated, you want people to be able to move freely to some degree amongst countries with a level of regulation. But because the church basically views it as a Christian duty to accept anyone, no matter what, the consequences mean that people that you or I, or anyone with any ounce of morality, would not wish to have in our neighborhoods. You know, you think about Osagale, he's the poster boy for the perils of completely unregulated immigration. Now, we all want genuine refugees fleeing war and persecution to benefit. Absolutely, every day of the week. People who are genuine asylum seekers, absolutely, every day of the week. You can't be a compassionate society without agreeing that that's important. But when the church is saying unregulated would be welcome, your door is wide open for organised criminal gangs to exploit opportunities for drugs, sex trafficking, and everything in between. You cannot be completely blind to a serious consequence of a Christian act because they claim it's Christian. You cannot be blind to it, because it impacts and affects and destroys individuals who should be protected because that act is continued and carried out. So the church are failing, as far as I'm concerned, in having that perspective. Now, bear in mind as well, if the horror for Alexandra isn't terrible enough, she had to go to the morgue. She had to identify her daughter's head. Now, that meant that she was going to be doing something highly traumatic, and as would be expected in such a Christian environment, she's not going to be sent alone. You know, the church is going to support her because he's heinous, right? So we have the head bishop, Nazareno Marconi, who is the head of the Diocese of Macerata. He goes with her. But basically, when he arrives, just imagine how she'd be identifying her daughter's head. All he does is recite a quick prayer, then says to Alessandra, "You must forget in silence." Now, Alessandra says that she wasn't entirely sure what he meant by this, but I think we can all agree that she got the gist. Sounds like the Christian church would prefer Pamela's family to be less vocal about their loved one's horrific murder. "You must forget in silence." I tell you what, Bishop, you and me are not going to be on the same page where that's concerned, because you ain't going quietly. And the church should not be saying to a family who've just lost a child so brutally that you've got to forget in silence. You are going to be screaming it from the rooftops until justice occurs, until change arrives. It's horrific that Pamela's family are getting this additional pressure by the one place who should be offering her solace and a place of sanctuary. Now, since Osagale's incarceration, another thing that the church have done is frequently provided assistance to him. Yeah. So they've gone ahead and given him food and clothes. This is all via a Catholic church charity. Meanwhile, Pamela's family have had no contact from the charity whatsoever. Not even a call. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine a situation that calls for a Christian act more than one that that family is in. But why help them when you've got this reprehensible, sadistic excuse for a person in prison that you can take care of? Now, Alessandra stated this: "The church is merciful with the devil, but not with my daughter." Amen to that. Amen to that. And you know what? It just plays in to a lot of the feelings that I've got about a lot of organized religion and the darkness within the depths of some of those areas. Listen, you all know I've got a faith. I also know that people with faith live longer, tend to be happier in relationships, tend to be healthier. There's a lot of research out there that evidences that. I'm not coming down on people having a faith. I'm saying that where there are organizations of power, there tends to be corruption, And where there is corruption, there tends to be a supporting for things that we should never wish to support. Just throwing it out there. Let's be honest about the Catholic Church. My God, I should probably do some videos on some of the horrific sexual abuse cases carried out by priests and some of the horrific murders carried out by nuns. So we're not going to pretend that this environment and organization is full of the good guys. Baddies are everywhere. And some of those baddies get super powerful and do super terrible things. Now, in a final twist of fate, Pamela's family actually had a memorial built. This was at the place where her remains were found. Obviously for them, they wanted it to be a place of remembrance and meaning and not the sinister, macabre memory of the suitcases being found there. Now, apparently, Bishop Marconi, you know, person with good running through his veins, apparently he arrived, not probably because he wanted to, because then he just goes through a prayer really quickly and then said he was busy and left. Wow. Just makes me want to, you know, say a few Hail Marys in his honour. Genuinely, what we're seeing there is a complete absence of empathy and sympathy for Pamela's family. Who knows? Maybe the truth is that that particular bishop believed that because Pamela was a drug user, that she kind of deserved what happened to her. Because believe me, those kind of bizarre stereotypes psychologically exist in people as well. It's a harrowing thought, but it's certainly a possibility. Now, there's no doubt that Pamela's murder has exacerbated anti-immigrant sentiments in Italy, particularly in Macerata, where the killings occurred. Bearing in mind that that actual town had previously been really welcoming, it had been a left-leaning place, it wasn't used to violence. However, that crime, the killing of Pamela, it just provoked a hell of a lot of xenophobic feeling. People felt really scared in the area. And that meant that the right-wing parties obviously exploited Pamela's murder for their benefit, that's including Lega, and they wanted to basically amplify their policies and beliefs by using her murder, which obviously was a very unusual thing. This wasn't happening regularly. It was something that was extraordinary. It wasn't in the ordinary. But they hook onto this. And in the 2018 general election campaign in Italy, they politicized the crime on the issue of immigration. So this is what they use basically to, I suppose, inflate their messages. So following Pamela's death, Lega's leader, Matteo Salvini, he actually accused the parties on the left of having blood on their hands. And in reference to Ostigali, he actually posted on Facebook, "What was this maggot still doing in Italy? He wasn't fleeing war. He brought war to Italy." And again, you can understand that a lot of people would agree with that. But that's about Ostigali as a character, right? You can't then paint everyone with that brush because it's absolutely untrue and clearly untrue. But it's a very clever way of raising the information that they want to raise regarding their policies and beliefs. Now, people were really angry and immigration was really a main topic in political debate during this period of time. They portrayed immigrants as drug dealers, as rapists, as murderers. Traini, the horror of an individual who went around shooting people, he actually gets hailed as a hero by some sections of Italian society following the shooting. Now, Salvini, obviously the leader that I was just talking about, he acknowledged that violence is never the solution. But what he did do was blame out of control migration for causing chaos, rage, and social clashes. So the Lega Party, after this promotion, after this amplification of their messaging, after the crime, wow, they had a resounding success in the 2018 election. So this is just 5 weeks after Pamela's death. So people are reacting, aren't they? They're reacting, and because of that, they're voting this way. So they became the third largest party in Italy. And part of their party pledges within their campaign was that they said they were going to deport 150,000 migrants and also close the borders to nearly all new arrivals. Now, you won't be surprised that since all this has happened and since these kind of campaigns have gone ahead, the rise in xenophobic mentality and behaviour has just been huge. And it's actually a story that plays out time and time again. Whenever a nation's economy is in dire straits, so let's look at when Italy joined the euro. When they joined the euro in Italy, things went south for its citizens, it really did. So they claim actually, and when you look at the research, it makes sense. They say when the lira was replaced, the cost of everything doubled, but the wages stayed the same. And many Italians actually want to be out of the EU. But with a national debt in the trillions, it can't realistically happen. Now, against this economic downturn, 620,000 immigrants entered Italy in the 4 years before Pamela's murder. Now, that peak in immigration, that basically coincided with this continued economic downturn. And that, to some degree, means that immigrants become an easy scapegoat. And far-right groups take the opportunity to stoke that fire because it works in their agenda. Meanwhile, horrific crimes like Osagali's killing of Pamela, well, that just pours paraffin on the fire. It just inflames it hugely. Now, sadly, people like him, they're criminals. They're always going to be criminals. Just like you have criminals in every culture, there are people who are just born bad, and that's how they're going to spend their life. And he is a criminal who took advantage of an immigration system that, yeah, isn't working. We can absolutely agree that, but that he could exploit. And that is so problematic because it impacts on the genuine cases. And those who are the genuine cases are the ones that suffer, such as the six innocent people who were shot by Traini. That said, and absolutely that noted, the enormity of Pamela's murder should not be ignored. A year younger, she would have been a kid. She'd have been a child. And so even though it's unfortunate that far-right groups used cases like hers to forward their own fascist agendas, the point is that we have to remember what happened to Pamela. Can't be brushed under the carpet, no matter how much the Catholic Church would like us to just zip it over this. And I have to say, where the Catholic Church is concerned, as I've noted before, doesn't have a track record, really, a good track record when it comes to disclosing and acting on issues of sexual exploitation. That's something that we can all agree on, isn't it? And I'm not meaning to offend anybody out there. You know, there'll be some of you who are highly religious and go to church and so on and so forth, and that's fine. But let's get our priorities right. You know, the big GOD, they can do the forgiving. They can do the forgiving. And maybe actually what the church should do is to truly support the victims in these situations. And certainly Pamela's family is the victim in this circumstance. Like I said, that isn't to be disrespectful to those of you who attend church, have a strong Catholic faith, strong Christian faith. Absolutely not. What I'm saying is there are bad apples everywhere. And when those bad apples exist, we should root them out and not support them in silence. It's as simple as that. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.